gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good point, Shafe, on the live blog. You know who else liked to paint, Jim?
Hitler.
You know who else put a country had weapons of mass destruction that didn't? Just saying.
Actually,
we're not saying, we're just saying.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Hitler was good at drawing buildings, but not people so much.
Well, neither
it's
is George Bush.
It's another one of our skits that has popped to life. You remember how Jim used to do George W. Bush drawing on Ruggie with his crayons?
Optimistical. This is a bird, I think.
I'm
not
just finishing up my picture of George W. Bush in the shower. Okay, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Happy
Shut
Monday.
Up, con.
Sarah Palin apparently said to the Vatican, how's that Popey Changey thing working out for you? Rocky Mouth Mike said that.
Hey.
I didn't write that myself.
Is the Pope German?
Yes.
Computer says yes.
Yes. Mm.
So that's right. Breaking news this morning that the Pope is resigning.
Right.
In case you haven't heard, in case you're just getting up.
Right.
That's going to affect me in so many ways. Not really.
We were saying no matter how bad your weekend was, and mine's pretty bad. At least you're not on a Carnival cruise ship.
That's true.
How about that public address announcement, Jim? Ladies and gentlemen, the ship appears to be...
What's the word I'm looking for? Oh, on fire.
On fire.
None of the toilets are
working.
Toilets
are shut.
So if you're suffering from norovirus, the food poisoning, just hold it.
Air conditioning Air conditioning isn't working. Everybody's up on the decks.
Right.
Nobody's down in their rooms or anything because it's too hot.
Right, but party on the Lido deck.
Okay. Ain't we got fun?
I don't understand why anyone goes on a cruise ever. I don't know. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website.
For the karaoke.
For the karaoke.
Yeah.
You can do that on dry land.
Really?
Oh, just saying.
I had no idea.
And, a crisis of epic proportion, snowstorm back east, like crazy. Dogs and cats living together. However, Gawker brings us a story. Think snowstorm Nemo's bad? In Brazil, it's raining spiders.
Spiders?
No!
Oh, God! Oh!
Brazil has some of the nastiest spiders in the world.
They do.
Yeah.
Gawker says, what's that? You're worried of a little snow falling on your head? How adorable. Meanwhile, in Brazil, it's raining spiders. Footage posted online yesterday shows thousands of spiders falling from the sky.
Oh!
In Brazil! God. Now I'm debating whether I'd rather be on a Carnival cruise line or in Brazil. I'm not sure.
What did it say? What caused the spiders to rain from the sky?
No. That's why it's terrifying. There's no word.
Probably a storm lifted them up.
Just because.
Sent them airborne, and then they came down again.
Right. Do you really care why? When a spider falls on your head, and like a couple of them...
And latches onto you like an alien?
Right. Do you really give time to wonder...
Lays its eggs in your stomach?
I wonder why that's happening. I wonder what the scientific cause of this is. Okay.
Oh.
Wowee. Meanwhile, we got news breaking left and right around
here. What did
I break? And it stays broken when it breaks here. That the cop, the ex-cop they're hunting.
Oh, yeah. Now he's now a target for drones.
Wow. There goes Lake Arrowhead. Oh, it's a lake of fire.
Well, no. It's
fire. That's going to suck for a certain bunch of snowboarders.
It's
David, what is that?
It's drones carrying thermal imaging cameras, not Hellfire missiles.
Oh!
Right.
Oh.
So.
That'll totally harsh your snowboarding buzz.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be whitewater snowboarding, probably, Be a little different. A little adjustment.
Yeah.
God. By the way, David in New York City brings us I knew this. Well, we played some of this on Friday. Every time something happens, at least Sean Hannity tries to make it like, oh, he's a liberal. Whatever, murderer guy, always. Steph, the wingnuts are trying to label the killer cop as a liberal progressive, but he was not an Obama supporter. This was from his writings. Before you start your argument that you believe I would vote for Obama because he has the same skin color as me, you.
Oh.
I didn't vote in this last election as my choice of candidate, John Huntsman, didn't win the primary candidacy for...
That explains a lot.
That explains a lot. Huntsman guy.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Meanwhile, back in sexy liberal land... St. Louis bitches be crazy, too. Brad in St. Louis says, yes, Chicago bitches be crazy. They really do.
They are.
Tickets are literally flying out the window for April 13th, Sexy Liberal. Chicago bitches be crazy. What about the St. Louis Steph bitches who are coming to see you? My partner and I are coming up for the third time at Steph Heads.
Whoa.
Third time to see the Sexy Liberal Show at the Chicago Theater via the antiquated American rail system known as Amtrak. Look for us in the 11th Row Center. 11th Row Center, Brad.
Cool.
St. Louis bitches.
Sweet.
All the crazy bitches coming to see Chicago.
And Travis and I are still working on coming.
Are you really?
I think that would be a lot of fun.
That would be totes adorbs.
That would be totes adorbs.
All right. We have a regular Monday show. We have Rude Pundit coming up. Eric Bowler with some... I swear to God, that's the best thing about my weekend is Eric Bowler tweets.
Oh, really?
Oh. Love him so much. One thing I'm not... Don't love so much? David Gregory.
Oh, what did he say again?
I need to... Okay, well... Just, you know, every week he says something that makes my head. It started with the the Sunday after the election. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Should the president, by way of bipartisan outreach, well, what is with this bipartisan outreach?
He won, for bleep's sake.
Should he bring in Mitt Romney to negotiate the fiscal cliff? Chin stroke. No! Okay.
President Johnson, is there a role for Senator Goldwater in your administration?
Oh, yes. He can have any cabinet position he'd like. Yeah, that's what they had. The tools they had on, the two right-wing, Mike Murphy and the, I'm really hoping the president, you know, is not as combative as in his inaugural, that he does some outreach.
Combative?
Oh, anyway, so I can't even remember who. David Gregory asked somebody, should the president withdraw Chuck Hagel's nomination?
No.
And no! Should he just step down and nominate someone else?
No.
What?
Yeah.
No!
Perhaps a Republican. Chuck Hagel is a Republican!
Right!
Twit.
Also, Bill.
All right, meanwhile.
Bill Press had a really good point this morning.
Yes.
He and I are getting really tired of seeing John McCain and Lindsey Graham every single Sunday on every single show.
The senator of the Green Room.
Yeah.
I was just going to get to that.
Okay.
Lindsey Graham will, permanently, he's either on the fainting couch or in a green room. He threatened to block votes on nominees for CIA director and defense secretary until the administration gives more information about.
Benghazi!
Well, I declare, I'll be sipping my mint julep. I cannot.
I don't think we should allow Brennan to go forward for the CIA directorship, Hagel to be confirmed to Secretary of Defense until the White House gives us an accounting.
And then he flounced away.
Yep.
Was he one of the guys who was against beefing up security for embassies?
Yes.
Yes.
Against stuff.
Interesting.
There are some senators that these shows could book that were against these Benghazi hearings, period.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how about getting the other side instead of these two?
Because it's not as combative.
Yes. Exactly.
The world's angriest two leprechauns.
Well... One of them is a little more tastefully appointed.
What are you insinuating?
I am not insinuating anything,
The conventional
sir.
Wisdom sometimes drives me crazy, like that we can't get anything done on guns, and oh, no, that's too much now, the assault weapons ban, we can't possibly. I actually agreed with my friend Ariana, was on Meet the Press, and she said, oh, please, David, the picture of the president skeet shooting is so depressing. Which is true, because it's so obvious has to pander to the gun people, it's so depressing, the president's shooting. Okay. Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with it. No.
I mean,
You know.
All right.
All right. What?
The president's not speech shooting. He can't. Well, there's a picture.
Oh. Well, then it's Photoshop.
There's smoke coming out of the wrong. They're skeeters. They're skeeters. Yeah. People that don't believe. It's not angled the right way to have a vest full of shells. Okay.
I think he has people around him to carry vests full of shells. I don't think he needs to have a vest full of shells.
Right. He's like the king. He doesn't carry cash.
Right. Your money's not good here.
Oh, see, I'm going to be
in
left-wing. Money's
not good here, Mr. Torrance.
Now I'll be in right-wing world tomorrow, because I called the president a king.
Oh. You were already in Newsbusters.
See? Liberals are admitting it.
You were in Newsbusters over the weekend.
Whatever.
Now what did I do?
Oh, you used the term rice ball around Michelle Malkin, and people thought you were racist.
Oh, come
on. That's not what we were talking about.
I know.
We were talking about the Loris.
The rice ball.
It's a meme.
What?
Internet thing.
We were talking about that all day. We posted it on my Facebook page.
Now, had she called Michelle Malkin
a
rice ball?
I wondered why I got these emails. How dare you? You're so racist about Michelle Malkin.
God.
I was like, I literally got these emails. I'm like, what are they talking
about?
You said Michelle Malkin was unpacking a rice ball.
Oh, of healthcare nonsense.
Exactly.
Like the large...
And they thought that you were being racist.
Oh,
because they didn't hear the...
Because
awesome.
The half hour before...
Yeah.
I was talking about the...
Actually, the theme
Loris
of the show was the slow Loris
eating
a
rice ball. Right. Yeah.
Go check it out! It's adorable!
It's still on your Facebook page.
Oh, my God. Because we were saying he seemed newly surprised every time he took a bite.
Oh!
Oh! It's still here!
Ooh. So there's
see,
that.
Now you got me down there.
I know.
So,
yeah.
Again,
did
wow.
Newsbusters call us out on racism for the baby monkey meme that we were doing
know.
All last year?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But that's what that was about. If you.
But the best news of the weekend, as I mentioned, George W. Bush's paintings. I just... Another Jim Ward
look
skit sprung to life.
I made a picture. It's a picture of me in the shower. Looking at me in the mirror. I'm in the shower looking at a mirror. Not an M-ear, that's a
wow,
different thing.
Wow, and now there's all the, you know, the art critics have come out of the woodwork. We may never know exactly why W likes depicting himself in the bathroom. If you ask me, there's something of a simple allegory to the moments chosen here. The discredited former leader trying to wash himself clean of the long failure that was his life.
Wow.
I
yeah,
really
even
think
under the shower's
art critics. Yeah, that's what they do.
Of purifying water, he can see himself, his very soul in the mirror. There is no
wow,
escape
really?
From our past but the grave.
Yikes.
His eyes say.
Wow.
I
really think people are reading too much into
I always
that.
Thought art criticism was a waste of time. And
I think
proof.
It proved yeah. what we always thought, and he's kind of doofy. He's a little doofy. So.
Elephants have done better paintings than that, by the way. I've seen elephants actually.
Chimpanzees have done better.
Chimpanzees have done
just
better.
Look at
paintings.
All the work, you know, like Clinton's doing with the Clinton Initiative and all that. And
right.
I'm in the shower.
This is me.
Looking at me in the mirror.
Washing my toes.
I was going to... Do a picture of me washing my junk, but I thought better of it. Laura said, no, I better not do that. Not safer.
May I just say the one thing? Because if you're someone like me that's had your privacy hacked, you know, had your... That is awful. It doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
That is awful.
Yes.
But, you know, the
yes.
hacking
we don't
the
encourage,
Bush family.
We don't encourage that.
Yeah,
all.
Exactly. All right. As you and I both, we've shared stories.
Oh.
Of course, has more to do with who we've dated. Anyway, 18 minutes after the hour.
There's that.
But if you've had your privacy hacked to that degree, you understand how it feels. All right. 18
poor
minutes.
Poor life choices.
Yes, by Chris and Stephanie. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The left roars back. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, dear God. Just when you thought the Republican Party could not get any more pathetic, a Republican strategist said on a Sunday show, we need Rubio because he knows who Tupac is.
What?
Wow.
Tommy writes, this is not from The Onion. Tupac was shot 16 years
yeah.
ago. They'll kill the Republicans and they find out Salt and Pepper has broken up and Will Smith has moved on from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That'll be their big idea for the next convention. They'll
yeah.
have the hologram Tupac.
Yeah.
They're trying to Clint Eastwood in a chair.
Yeah, they're going to try and book Biggie Smalls.
Right.
What? What do you mean he's not available?
He's a notorious DEAD. What? Sunday on ABC's This Week, Republican operative Nicole Wallace argued that Rubio was good for the party as a whole because he knows who Tupac is. That knowledge, she said, proved that he could connect to young voters, a demographic the Republican Party's typically struggled to court.
Doesn't prove anything.
Our friend Representative Keith Ellison pointed out, it's like lipstick on a pig. I mean, the bottom line is the Republicans have a core values problem, not a who knows who Tupac Shakur is problem.
Yeah.
Oh, he's the new savior. Did you see the Time magazine? Marco.
Rubio.
Yeah, okay. Laura in Pennsylvania, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Laura.
Well, hi, Stephanie and
well, hi.
Jim and Chris. Listen, my main topic here is Social Security. I have to admit, I am scared to death that Obama, he swore he wouldn't put it on the table when he had. And I'm just nerve-wracking because I could lose my home like a lot of other people. I'm supporting my 6-year-old grandson. I have a $24,000 loan out, you know, and, I'm just hoping they don't touch it. I'm just praying. But anyway, what is it with our Social Security that the Republicans want to take off of us, but yet we have to pay for their health insurance and their pension?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
you
yep.
know?
And, I agree with
and
you.
It's nothing.
And
yeah,
as, you know,
and
as, you know, as Senator Sanders says over and over again, we do not have a crisis in Social Security.
We
remember
do
they,
not.
Remember they tried this the last time with George Bush? He kept using the word crisis, thinking yeah. if he kept saying that, we'd privatize it out of panic or something, you know? Yeah.
Just raise the cap.
Yes.
That's,
there's
was,
an idea.
Yeah.
We're helpers.
Yeah, sure.
Helpers.
If you're, what is that, $116,000 a year? If above that, you don't
right.
pay into it at all?
Right.
It's insane.
Right. Oh, speaking of Bush, I'm just fascinated with the art critics' reviews of his doodles. They say, Jim, he is a better painter than Churchill and Hitler. So there's that.
Wow.
He's a better painter than Hitler was.
Actually, Hitler was pretty good at painting buildings, not so much people, which tells you a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's they're both self-portraits, both both showing Mr. Bush bathing, as we know, one in the shower, one in the bathtub. One shows Mr. Bush in the shower scene from the back, upper torso only, his well-known squint caught in the white-rimmed shaving mirror. The other is a Bush-eye view of the former president as he soaks in a bathtub with the water running. I don't, and then there's some controversy, Chris, as to why it looks like her one knee is swollen.
Okay.
The two paintings could be said to depict the introverted self-absorption from which Mr. Bush is known. Perhaps he's trying to cleanse himself in a more metaphorical way, seeking the kind of redemption from his less fortuitous decisions as president.
Or
yeah, the art review is very, very deep.
You're reading way too much into it.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just kind of a doofus. So yeah, I'm thinking about a picture of myself naked.
I was going to do something naive. They call it their art boy, critic world.
Judy in,
which is to say, I can't draw too good.
Judy in Michigan. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I feel like Shirley Sherrod. Do you remember her?
Yep. When yep.
I am exhausted. These idiot Republicans will not leave our president govern. And I just wanted to say to somebody, why don't McCain and Lindsey Graham just go on an island somewhere? Or they ought to
you
all
mean like,
go to a...
like Gilligan and the captain?
Yes.
Or the island of misfit toys.
Right. They're Lindsey Graham and Leon Panetta on the... Oh, he was on the Sunday show? Wow, is this his first booking, Lindsey Graham?
No, this was from hearings on Friday.
Oh, this was from the hearing. Okay.
Are you surprised that the President of the United States never called you, Secretary Panetta, and say, how's it going?
Normally, in these situations...
did he know the level of threat?
Let me finish the answer. We were deploying the forces. He knew we were deploying the forces. He was being kept...
I hate to interrupt you, but I got limited time. We didn't deploy any forces.
Why is he asking questions if he doesn't want to hear the answer?
Right. Yeah, let me talk over you while I answer the question myself. Yeah. Lindsey Graham.
It was just a chance for him to pontificate. That.
Yes.
If I were a family member and one of my loved ones was killed in Benghazi, I would be sick to my stomach.
I would certainly get to the bottom of who cut the funding for security.
Oh, it was me.
Oh,
oops.
Okay. Okay, and then this was the snit fit that we talked about earlier.
Are you play this again?
Yes.
Okay.
Senator Lindsey Graham.
I don't think we should allow Brennan to go forward for the CIA directorship, Hagel to be confirmed to Secretary of Defense until the White House gives us an accounting.
There he is, Lindsey Graham with his 1,000th.
I don't think the White House should do anything until I tell him to, until I'm ready for them to do something. I'm going to sit here and stamp my feet until they do everything I want them to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the only thing they have left. Seriously.
All right. Yeah, we have lots to... guess who's on CNN, speaking of the shows? Dick Morris. Looks like he's reinventing himself on CNN. Now he's a moderate Republican.
All that stuff I said in Fox, don't believe any of it. It's a joke.
Right, right.
It's performance art. I'm being serious now, though. You can trust me.
29 minutes after the hour. Rude Pundit is next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
You look familiar, sir. Are you on the television or something?
Sorry, buddy. You got me confused with...
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Monday, you know what that means. Yeah. Generally, you do.
I know.
Unless someone's still drunk from the
weekend. Sleep off at the Rude Pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa.
Good morning.
Please tell me you're not as drunk as Crystal is from the weekend.
I'm drunk.
No, oh, I never stop being as drunk as Chris is.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we were talking about the George W. Bush paintings as well. You have posted them under paintings that creep the Rude Pundit the out. and you point out, as we did, you say, sure, it's kind of ish to put this up since it was stolen with emails and photos from the hacked email account of Bush's sister. But the Rude Pundit's got to tell you, that picture up there, that self-portrait of the man himself, it's fascinating.
It is. It is. You know, it could have been titled, you know, I don't know, maybe he would have titled it, I Found the Weapons, or something like that.
You say the
first... Actually, that would be the one where he's staring at his toes. That would
right.
be the one, just his toes poking up out of the tub at the end.
Yeah. You say the first thing Rude Pundit thought was, look out behind you, and then he wondered if this was an image of Bush awaiting his elderly male lover, whose approach is seen in the mirror for some old-fashioned Greco-Roman nude shower wrestling.
Oh.
Everybody interprets art differently.
Sure.
That's right. We don't know his intention, so it's open. He's an artist. He would
right.
want that.
Exactly.
Here's a picture of a dookie I left in the toilet. Talk about weapons of mass destruction.
You say, you conclude, though, nah, he's probably just wondering if anyone will catch him down the drain. And that could
yeah.
be. That could be as deep as it goes.
I think so. Mm-hmm. I just wonder, where are the pictures of him clearing brush? Why isn't he painting that? Why is he painting anything that's, you know, vaguely the macho guy that we got to watch all those years? Nope. It's just him getting clean.
Maybe he's got
the and the photo of him
Here's
hanging
my
out with and a photo of him hanging out with Ralph Lauren, like all the macho guys do.
I love it when you get your Family Research Council. What is it? Your Super Duper prayer. You know.
Yeah, my prayer missives. Target. Yes.
Right. And this week, their missive is a pray for straight scouts and against the passage of Violence Against Women Act. Is what they'd like you to pray for, right?
Yeah, that's right. Now, you know, against the scouts being against gay scouts, that's understandable. But the vote against the Violence Against Women Act, because Jesus wants you to do that,
right?
Just kind of weird to me.
What's
right.
their reasoning?
Which woman would Jesus hit?
Yeah. Do you know their reasoning?
Because it's loaded up with liberal things, like, you know, we want to give protection to gays and lesbians who are abused, and we want to give protection to illegal immigrant women who are abused, and, you know, they're here illegally. How is a smackin' really illegal?
Ah, I see. Okay, well, that's how Christian.
Yes,
and then
yes.
You...
And don't forget that the tribal council stuff. That's the thing that tribal
right.
law takes precedent in these cases for
right.
violence against Native American women, which
right.
Eric Cantor has just lost his mind over.
Right. Yes, exactly. And you say, you know, the one thing that has bugged me out of Rude Pundit all this time about the whole gay or not gay scouts issue, the fact that the anti-gay side also has a problem with lesbian den leaders, because your logic is the gay man can't do it because they might lust for the boys. What's your argument against lesbians like Jennifer Turrell? You prefer straight women who love the hanging out with high school aged Eagle Scouts? Yes, one would think. What better solution than a lesbian den mother, right?
Sure.
Right, lesbian den mother, you know, it's fine. Why wouldn't you want? In fact, you should be encouraging lesbian den mothers. But maybe that's supporting, you know, I don't know, lesbians being mothers. Maybe that's the problem.
Johnny has two den mothers.
Trust me, they're not Weeblos. Okay. So, and then obviously you wade into the drone stuff, but I must say it's not happy clappy, but it's a realism. It's a dose of rude realism.
Yeah.
You say, of the candidates who had a chance this last election, who would you rather have in office? The guy who does drone strikes and supports gay rights, new gun laws, and at least marginally higher taxes on the wealthy? Or the guy who would have done drone strikes, cut taxes for the rich, probably started a war with Iran, and blocked any gun control legislation? Because that was the choice we had. Back in 1964, would you rather had Barry Goldwater or the dude who escalated the Vietnam War but also signed civil rights laws? It's not forgiveness, it's not acceptance, it's living in the world you have, not the world you want.
Rudeness, wow. That was reasonable.
What's happened to you?
Well, I mean, I think you can sit here and despise and want to try to change our policy on drone strikes, but still sit there and go, well, okay, you know, it's great that, for instance, in the State of the Union, apparently Obama's going to call for getting rid of some of our nuclear weapons. It's like,
right.
Groovy. And now let's elect a Congress that wants to stop drone strikes. I mean, then that's actually probably, again, I think I've said this before on the show, the kindest spin you can put on some of these policies that are so reprehensible that that Obama has is it's almost like he's daring Congress to say, you guys put into place, you guys allowed this expansion of executive power, you guys stop it.
Yeah. No, I mean, Brute, it's not that obviously we've talked about this on the show that we're not all troubled to some degree about it. And, you know, how do you do a FISA court? What do you do? But I think you're right. When you compare it to George Bush's, you know, two ground wars, I mean, the fact that we're getting everybody out of Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, I mean, and I think, you know, what's most compelling to me is when we have like military people call and write and just say, you know, hey, it saves soldiers' lives. And I guess there is that, right?
Well, I think the bigger outrage here for some on the left is that there's no oversight. It is simply the word essentially of one person. Now he may be getting all the advice in the world, but there's no check or balance to that power. And isn't that a frightening amount of power for a president, the executive in a power in the country to have?
Right. You know, and you brought up a point about Congress. I was reading this piece in Salon from a former Congressman, Tom Allen, you know, just saying the GOP speaks a different language. I was watching, I think it was Fareed Zakaria yesterday, and you go through each and every issue, and I'm sure the president will talk about this tomorrow night in the State of the Union. The American people literally on his side on all these issues. This is what he ran on. This is what he said, the inaugural. These are all the issues and literally it is the Republicans in Congress. That's why when David Gregor, whoever tries to make this seem like, oh, well, both sides do it. No, you know, why won't the president outreach? It is congressional Republicans, right? That is the problem.
Right. It's congressional Republicans in gerrymandered districts. And I think the solution is, you know, we put all this money into ads and all this money into super PACs. How about instead we do this? We put a bunch of money into moving people on the left into the gerrymandered districts.
Yeah.
And
that's a good idea.
And, you know, we just fill it. We build apartment complexes that are there and give discounts to people who agree to vote a certain way. And we take over the gerrymandered districts using capitalism.
Right. Right. Well, I mean, interesting what Tom Allen says. Former Congressman Tom Allen, GOP speaks a different language. You try serving with these Republicans. I spent 12 years in Congress and lost hope we could talk to each other. He said, as I listened over the years to baffling arguments in committee on the House floor and private conversations, I lost hope in our capacity for bipartisan agreement on our major public policy challenges. On budgets, taxes, health care, climate change, the evidence that mattered to us made no difference to our Republican colleagues. What Democrats took as well-established fact, Republicans understood as easily dismissed opinions. When we wondered, do these guys believe what they say? Our answer was usually no, but if the Republicans didn't believe the things they were saying, they were extraordinarily gifted performers on the House floor. But, you know, and like I said, but there you go, you turn to the Sunday shows, and it's the president's fault. Why won't the president do more bipartisan? What is wrong with him? Why won't, it's like,
I love, we want spending cuts, and the president had better tell us which ones.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And now, of course, they're trying to blame the sequester that they all voted for on the president, right?
Right. The sequester that he was cornered into, that great Keith Ellison moment when he was on, I forget which show this weekend, where he was on with a Republican congressman who started blaming the president for the sequester. And Ellison just said, no, you guys were holding the debt limit hostage. And you wanted this. And now we have it. And so the president was willing to offer a deal, but because they refused in any way to budge on taxes, that there was no deal.
Yep.
I love the short-term memory too, because you know you have Lindsey Graham now screeching about Benghazi, you know, just a total screaming meme about it. And I'm sorry, I have to picture him in some kind of frilly floral print and
screaming like it were raining spiders on him.
Right, exactly. Raining spiders and rice balls. And
see, there you go.
But yet he was one of the, when he first got to the Senate and when he was in the House of Representatives, he was one of the biggest supporters of Bush on weapons of mass destruction.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's like, where's the investigation of all of the people? And then he wasn't somebody who was so upset about the weapons of mass destruction argument.
Right. Well, and you know how clever, by the way, speaking of the sequestration, how clever they are with the social media. So Boehner has invented a new word via Twitter that he thinks will turn this whole thing around. He makes the case the president is to blame for the upcoming automatic spending cuts, and it's hashtag ObamaQuester. Oh, that is clever, Boehner.
Wow.
But he had nothing to do with the sequester.
House GOP has voted to replace the president's sequester twice.
President sequester?
Hashtag, yeah, right.
Wow, this is now getting, just putting Obama at the front of every word is now getting as clever as using gate or tard at the end of word.
Yes, exactly, nicely. Nicely done. All right, rudeness.
Tardgate. Tardgate.
Stop it. All right. Rude Pundit, see you next week, honey. Love you.
Bye.
Bye. You have 45 minutes
Obama after the hour. Gate.
All right. Stop
what?
It!
What?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Her grade school nuns would like to slap her silly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Nobody but
Stephanie Miller
and me. You're the first, you're the last, my everything.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Eric Bowler to Media Matters and Right Wing World at the top of the hour. Let's go to Blan in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Blan.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello.
Look, remember when the deal came out and they were all over the TV everywhere saying, we got 98% of what we wanted. We got 98%
right.
of what we wanted.
Right.
This is that deal.
Yep.
This is that 98% of what they want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they got it.
Right. Yep, absolutely. I mean, that's they think we have like short-term memory loss, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's all I wanted to say, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. Thank you, honey. All right. Guess who else was on the Sunday show? Eric Hanner.
The problem is, David, every time you turn around, the answer is to raise taxes. And, you know, he just got his tax hike on the wealthy. And you can't, in this town, every 3 months, raise taxes.
Raising taxes? Who does that? That's crazy.
He's such a smarmy bastard, seriously. I'm sorry. He just irritates the bejesus out of me. All right, yes. Oh, this is clever.
When
has
the government ever raised taxes? Oh, Reagan did it 3 times.
He jumped into that clever social media campaign to blame the president for the sequester.
Oh, boy.
Yes, hashtag ObamaQuester. Clever.
Gate.
Yep. The Boehner tweeted that. The goal, evidently, to rally the Republican base around the term hashtag ObamaQuester. Oh, that falls right off the tongue.
Jeez.
This could turn either pressure President Obama to come up with a deal favorable to the GOP, or if the sequester does go into effect, cement the idea that its potentially devastating consequences are Obama's fault. Except that you get there are stories like this that get out,
right?
So this looks even more ham-handed.
Yeah.
We're going to try to make it look like it's his fault. Ha ha!
Clever. That is clever.
I probably should have said that.
Oh well.
I should have been back in the summer. Yeah.
Eric Cantor jumped into the Twitter game. Sequester, number one, an issue Obama created for which he refuses to take responsibility. Number two, Democrats' excuse for higher taxes. Hashtag ObamaQuester. Okay. Eric Cantor, spending is the problem in Washington. I hope President Obama finally offers an alternative to hashtag ObamaQuester.
Oh, God.
They're what? So clunky.
How do they figure that the sequester is Obama's fault?
I don't know. Can I just say...
They don't.
The left,
they're
a little more.
They're just saying it, hoping that it sticks.
It's the big lie theory.
Just saying, progressive, just a little more clever with the social media.
Yeah.
Let's see. Matt Iglesias wrote, why did Speaker Boehner vote for this terrible hashtag ObamaQuester?
Exactly.
Sam Stein tweeted, just to be clear, 174 House Republicans voted for hashtag ObamaQuester while 95 House Democrats voted for it. LOL GOP writes, what do you call it when Speaker Boehner gets 98% of what he wanted? Hashtag ObamaQuester. Okay. Just stop it. You're not good at the social media thing. Well, stop trying.
Neither are you, personally.
Right. I don't claim to be.
Okay.
All right. Dana in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dana.
Hi. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you? I love your nail polish stuff.
I got new gels. Aren't they magical? I never do color.
Yeah, this is the first time.
It's a girl tip from Jackie Schechner and Melissa Fitzgerald, the other two people in my
throuple. Jackie, no, it's the first thing I noticed. I'm like, wow, she's wearing nail polish.
I know it. I never used to get it before because I'm very active and it peels too quickly.
And I know, and they get expensive too. Jo.
Right, but these last for like up to 2 weeks. It's very exciting.
It's bright.
They're beautiful. They look terrific. And Chris, I love your shirt. Oh.
See, Dana, you know why I did it? Because you can see if you watch on TV how many times Chris misses a cue. So this way, I have something that I can get it. So
you when you're giving him the finger, we can see it.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally.
No, I love your shirt, Chris.
Thank you.
And Jim, you are on fire today. Hilarious as always.
Always.
No, seriously, just those little one-liners that I just like. I write them down.
He slips it. He slips them in before he even tells you you're pretty. You don't even know what happened.
So funny. It's just I love it. But I was just going to talk about Eric Cantor because, you know, as he's saying how much he loves women, he's still blocking the VAWA bill.
Right. Violence Against Women Act, yeah.
Yes, I mean, so, you know, what is that about?
Yep.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yep.
He's an idiot.
Yeah. All right. We've used up the word idiot about Republicans this hour. That's it. No more.
Who would ever accuse Eric Cantor of not liking women?
What? All right, sir, for those of us political geeks, woo, State of the Union tomorrow. I love it.
Just means staying up late.
Ugh. It starts at 6 o'clock our time.
I know, but then I have to edit everything down.
Somebody, a new friend of mine texted me over the weekend. It's like, and I'm like, what? And he said, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I'm getting ready to go to bed. And he's like, it's like 7:30. That's what time babies and milkmen go to bed.
Yeah. Milkman.
I don't even
When's the last time you saw a milkman?
Yeah. I don't know.
Wow. It's when buggy whip manufacturers go to bed.
Go to bed when babies do. Shut up! Okay, so President Obama will focus his State of the Union on boosting job creation and economic growth, the word is. He will also use his primetime address to announce steps for concluding the war in Afghanistan by the end of 2014. Yay. The president said he would address taxes and looming across the board budget cuts known as hashtag ObamaQuester. He said, I'm prepared, eager, and anxious to do a big deal, a big package that ends this governance by crisis where every 2 weeks or every 2 months or every 6 months we're threatening this hard-won recovery. So anyway, I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm sure we'll talk about gun control. Mm-hmm. Cleopatra Crowley, did you see this? It's very sad. So, you know, this teenage girl performed for the president at the inaugural parade, was killed by gun violence in Chicago.
Within a mile of the Obama's home.
Yeah. Oh. This was her mother.
You don't know how hard this really is. And those of you that do know how hard this is, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Heartbreaking.
God. Interesting story. I'm sure there's no connection here, Jim. States with the higher gun ownership and weak gun laws lead the nation in gun deaths.
Yeah. What a shock.
Yes. Headline, it is the guns.
I think Wayne LaPierre should be forced to meet with all the families of shooting victims.
Yeah. States with, and again, not the only part of the equation. Part of it. You can't ignore it. States with higher gun ownership rates and weak gun laws have the highest rates of gun death, according to a new analysis by the Violence Policy Center. The analysis reveals the five states with the highest per capita gun death rates were Alaska, Louisiana, Montana, Alabama, and Wyoming. Each of these states had a per capita death gun death rate far exceeding the national per capita gun death rate for the 50 states. Each state has lax gun laws and higher gun ownership rates. By contrast, states with strong gun laws and low rates of gun ownership had far lower rates of firearm-related death. What do you think could be the connection?
They're adjacent to states like Indiana, which is
ranking
where a lot of the guns are coming into
Chicago. Last in the nation for gun death, Hawaii.
Yep.
Followed by Massachusetts, Rhode Island, New Jersey, and New York.
It's not easy for people in Hawaii to go next door to Indiana and
get
guns.
No, unless you're really good on the pedal boat.
We need more guns in Hawaii, clearly.
Yes.
That'll make it even safer.
Exactly. What? And yes, I was, and out here in California, I'm just saying we tend to lead the way in things. California Democrats proposed strictest gun regulations in the nation. And, we don't have time. I'll go through some of the ideas, but These seem to make sense to me.
Absolutely.
There's a whole, and I know it'll make the gun nuts crazy.
Yep.
Crazy.
And now that we have a Democratic supermajority in California, there's a good chance that this might pass.
Good. Right. And then I'm just going to go out on a limb and say probably gun deaths are going to drop.
Yep.
A lot.
It's happened before.
And there'll once again be absolutely no connection. All right. 58 minutes after the hour, Eric Bollard and Right Wing World next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Mr. Blackwell, do you believe what he said to me? I would go with a more subdued color next time.
Well, that's Pepto-Bismol.
Whatever.
What color would Eric Cantor pick?
It's like you dipped your fingernails in Pepto-Bismol.
Whatever.
Your fingers are going to be constipated now.
No, it's
Chris Yankton writes, guys, hashtag ObamaQuester, seriously? That's supposed to be a thing? It sounds like a group of junior high focus group threw their ideas in a hay baler. Republican, same thing.
Yep.
All right. You know, I'm not just a woman. I'm a podcast and an app. I'm not sure you're aware. Tracy in New Jersey. Good morning, Steph. I'm a podcaster subscriber. I have no fear of commitment. I buy a year in advance. $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. If you have fear of commitment, it's only $7.95 a month.
That's still a bargoon.
You can take me with you everywhere. Kirsten gets to see me live. I'm also a live show and a dessert topping. Sexy Liberal Chicago. Kristen writes, Steph, I'm so excited to be returning to Sexy Liberal with my husband this year. April 13th, Chicago Theater. Tickets going very fast. And we'll be bringing some virgins. Ooh, Sexy Liberal virgins will be sacrificed to the show.
Sadly, there is no volcano in Cook County. Anywhere near there.
In Cook County.
There are
Greater Chicago land.
The Greater Chicago land does not have any volcanoes
anywhere near
at the present time.
All right. It's Monday. You know what that means. Yeah. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
Good morning, Eric Bollard.
Morning.
Can I just say, my weekend normally, as you know, consists of a box of wine and Eric Bollard tweets. This weekend, however, every single one of your tweets was spectacular, I must say. NRA wants armed cops in 98,000 U.S. schools. Has NRA commented on the armed cop currently terrorizing L.A.? Thank you. Good point.
Yeah, that's just obviously a frightening, amazing story, and it's the whole good guys, bad guys. You know, it's such a ridiculous, it's such a embarrassingly unsophisticated way to go about gun control, and this idea that if you have a gun and we like you, you're a good guy. But I mean,
right. And it's a story about a good guy with a gun. I guess can become a bad guy with a gun.
Yeah,
huh?
if you just look at the depressing laundry list of shooting victims every day. It's, you know, American gun violence is basically American shooting relatives and boyfriends and girlfriends. I mean, that is a huge chunk of gun violence.
Yeah.
And so how are you supposed to determine the good guys and bad guys? They're all good guys before they start shooting people, basically.
Right, right. And in the cases, you know, you allude to, too, until somebody gets drunk or somebody gets angry or,
yep.
You know, I mean, it's at any rate, you also write, it's odd how right-wing views W. Bush in a good way through the terror attacks of 9/11, but defines Obama a bad way through the Benghazi terror attack. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, and I also tweeted this morning, it said something like, call me crazy, but I think GOP is laying the groundwork for Benghazi to be their centerpiece of their 2016 campaign.
Yeah,
I mean, it
just never...
I actually heard someone on a Sunday show say, you know, I think it was in the drone discussion, Eric, but saying, well, Obama kept us safe and Bush kept us safe. Except for that one time. What?
But it's amazing. The Benghazi story absolutely won't go away. It's taken on such a larger than life. It encompasses everything the right wing feels about Obama, and he's not like us. He doesn't protect us. And it's about the sad, scary incident of four Americans who were killed in a terrorist attack. And it's just funny. I happened to be doing some research, and I was going back and looking at some of the, you know, coverage a decade ago from 9/11, Iraq War, and time and again, you know, 9/11 was pointed to as Bush's crowning achievement. This was something to be incredibly proud of.
Right.
He stepped up. This was leadership.
Right.
So allowing 3,000 Americans to be killed by a terrorist attack is leadership.
Right.
Being associated with four Americans dead in Benghazi is an incredible failure on Obama's part. It's it's just amazing.
And the other great point you make is another Benghazi hearing was it is as informative as the one following the nine U.S. embassies consulates attacked under Bush. Hashtag never mind.
There's just no context. Nine U.S. embassies and consulate attacked during Bush. If you want to go back further into context, in an 18-month period when Reagan was president, three separate U.S. embassies or barracks were attacked in Beirut. Over 300 Americans were killed, not just the Marines but others.
Right.
18 months after the third one, Reagan campaigned in Iowa the next day. Reporters asked him, did you think about not campaigning today? He said, no, you know, we need to campaign today.
Yeah.
So, the double standard throughout history is so glaring. And there were no hearings, of course, during the Bush years when embassies and consulates were constantly attacked.
And the people most upset about Benghazi are the people who voted to cut embassy security.
Right.
And the Republican Party, everyone forgets about this now, that tried to block the 9/11 Commission investigation.
Uh-huh.
Dick Cheney was on the phone with Daschle, with Democrats, saying this investigation is not going to happen.
Wow.
Yep.
And now that you know, we need 19 hearings about Benghazi.
Yep. By the way, so Rubio obviously will give the response to the State of the Union.
Yeah.
You say so in the last 4 years, Rubio's been for immigration reform as Florida House Speaker, against it Florida Senate candidate, and for it now with Florida Senator hashtag Courage.
But
they
it
have
works.
Their next flip flopper to run for president, right?
Well, look, it works. He's on the cover of Time magazine. He's the Republican savior.
Yep.
There's one or two sentences, even passing references, in that very soft Time cover story about how Rubio has evolved on immigration. Look, when he was, you know, when he was the Republican Speaker of the House in Florida, he was very, frankly, liberal when it came to immigration. Not interested in these right-wing talk about crackdowns. He ran for Senate. Everything changed. He ran so far to the right of Christie, and now he decides, well, Republicans can't win national election. So he runs back to his previous position. That's sort of the definition of like a classic flip-flop.
Yep.
And traditionally is something to be, you know, held up as ridiculed. But no. You know, he's the Republican savior. He's smart. He's savvy, et cetera.
Eric, interesting, before we dive into right-wing world, you know, speaking of disarray, I love your piece on, is the GOP splits? Whose side is Fox News on?
Right.
And it is interesting. You said it's a TV home base for Rove.
Right.
And one of the earliest supporters of the Tea Party's crusade against Obama's alleged socialism, Fox News has one foot planted in each of the two warring camps and finds itself in the awkward position of having to navigate the name-calling. You point out they did part ways with Sarah Palin and Dick Morris, but they just signed up Eric Erickson, Tea Party guy. So where are they in this whole inter-party battle?
Right, and he was having, you know, Erickson's having these war of words with Karl Rove, and, you know, the Tea Party says Karl Rove's an elitist and he's out of touch, and where are they? They're right in the middle. And my main point is this is not what Fox does. Fox News is not designed to sort of air out public hearings about what is the true meaning of conservatism. It's not, you know, the sort of open forum where everyone gets their point of view. Fox News is designed to, as a sort of a heat-seeking missile, to smear Democrats. You know, that's how they get their good ratings. That's their short-term programming. So that's their sort of DNA. I don't think Fox is going to do a very good job in sort of navigating a civil war, because that's not what their viewers are interested in. But there's already rumblings on the right, you know, the Tea Party, with, you know, Fox's close association with Karl Rove, and how they allow this, you know, this symbol of the Republican elite to always be on Fox and trash the Tea Party. So they, you know, they are caught in the middle.
Right.
And I don't think navigating it is going to do them any good. But
it's like a
right-wing the Tea Party.
Yeah, it's like a right-wing wacko kind of monster truck. I don't know. Triple X Games. All right, let's dive in and see what's doing today.
Triple X Games.
Something
uh-huh.
I don't know.
X
what? Extreme.
X Games. Just not Triple
right.
X.
No, that's different.
That's different. That's entirely different. Yeah. Okay, it's right-wing porn.
It's
okay.
A horse of a different color.
Mike Huckabee on Geraldo's radio show.
I think Carl needs to go through a metamorphosis. You know, this idea that somehow a handful of Republicans are going to attack Republicans that the handful doesn't like, I find that repulsive. I find it absolutely repulsive. This is not how you build a strong Republican Party, is by going after the people in your party who are different than you are. This is fratricide. And if the Republican Party wants to render itself utterly, utterly irrelevant, the best way to do it is to become several little parties within the party.
That just illustrated your whole piece this week,
yeah.
Didn't it?
Yeah, and it's funny. Now Karl Rove is starting to understand what it's like to be the target of this right-wing noise machine. There was talk, you know, there was some posts online and there was chatter. Karl Rove is lying. He never worked for the Reagan campaign. And, you know, now Huckabee's doing the name-calling. Mark Levin was doing the name-calling. So there is no rational discussion. If you're Karl Rove and you oppose these people, and I think he's done it in a fairly high-minded way, he hasn't done the name calling. They just come back with ad hominem attacks. You know, he's ruined, not only is he ruining the party, but you know, he's an elite, he's lying about his record, et cetera, et cetera. So it's always nice that when folks on the right actually get to appreciate and experience what it's like to be the target of these right-wing
smears. Welcome to our world, right?
4 years for Karl Rove.
Yeah, welcome to our world. All right, Bill Kristol.
Yeah, right.
Bill Kristol on Fox News Sunday.
The Democrats. This is not a matter of politics. This is going to gut our defenses. If you are a responsible president, you don't have to save $45 billion this year. That is 4%. 4% of the deficit. We're going to endanger our national defenses and shortchange our servicemen and women overseas for the sake of cutting 4% from this year's deficit. It's totally irresponsible.
Wow. So then its deficits don't matter again, right?
Exactly.
That's a good point, right? You know, deficits are this, you know, this sort of murderous, ominous, thing that's hanging over the generations, and Obama doesn't care about the future generations.
Right. Killing your grandchildren.
And when they actually, there are actual cuts. But look, Kristol, he uses this card all the time. I mean, he wrote a column last week saying, you know, if Democrats don't vote against Chuck Hagel, they're basically endangering our troops. And, you know, now if we want to have some, cutting that Republicans claim we have to do, you know, they're endangering our troops.
It becomes tiresome. All right. Hang on. Eric remains in the sidecar. We continue more right-wing world. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, Eric Bollert from Media Matters rejoins us for Right Wing World. Oh, just in time for Rush Limbaugh.
I remember being laughed at and mocked, being called an extremist for predicting that definitions of family, what constitutes family, is now wide open, and pretty soon you're going to be able to marry your dog. Your dog's going to be an official member of the family who qualifies for benefits. People laughed and made fun of me, and here we go. Miami-Dade Circuit Judge okays a plan for a gay guy and a lesbian couple to be on a daughter's birth certificate, even though one of the lesbians had nothing to do with it.
So that equates to people marrying dogs.
Where do the dogs come in there? I missed that part.
Who let the dogs in?
Because I'm like, can I marry Max? Okay.
If you don't see the connection, then you don't understand Rush's worldview.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
All right. Ted Nugent on WorldNet Daily Radio.
That's
got to be a reasonable discussion.
It really is a nation divided, and it's never been more divided. The racism that President Obama and Eric Gunrunning Holder promote is just heartbreaking, and it's tragic. And those of us that know better have got to constantly expose their ruse and their scams and their racist agenda.
Oh, my God. Really? I haven't heard. That's a new one. It's the president that's racist.
Two things. There's a new interview out with New Republic with Roger Ailes. He's mostly talking about what they're going to do with immigration on the channel. But he was deploring about how Obama has been trying to get poor people to hate rich people and blacks to hate whites. So this is definitely, we've obviously heard this for 4 years. You know, Obama is trying to start the race war, and now we have the chairman of Fox News going on the record, you know, claiming that Obama wants blacks to hate whites. The second part is, why do every time I turn on CNN am I seeing Ted Nugent? I mean, I know that interview was from, you know, a crazy right-wing radio show, but last week, right, you know, he became like their in-house gun expert. Yeah. Like, come on.
Eric, I've said that before when people go, well, everyone deserves a spot at the table.
Yeah, no.
Wrong. Yeah. All right. Greg Gutfield on the five.
Every student should stiff these expensive colleges on loans because, after all, they need to learn the obscure term that is called capitalism, and they got to pay for the fact that they've been churning out lazy, stupid Marxists every 4 years who put social justice before paying back a loan. So how do you solve this problem? You force all the Marxist professors to be in charge of debt collection. They got to go out, and if they don't get the loans back, they don't get their salaries. That's my solution. And they'll become capitalist before you can save Howard Zinn.
What a slimy little turd that guy is.
Oh, Jim. Louise Warren.
But even though Gutfield's not that old, I mean, he sounds like one of these classic cranky old men on Fox, right? Yeah. I mean, these kids today coming out of college, and they wonder why the average Fox viewer is like 72 years old.
All right, and we end with Chris Wallace and Mike Gallagher on the Gallagher Radio Program.
Nancy Pelosi. We'll be talking to her about the president's agenda. You'll want to watch that.
Can I give you some career advice? A little career advice. You want to continue in this business? Be a little rough on Nancy Pelosi, please. Give people hope that
fair
you are not
balanced.
Fair. I hope that means you're going to go crucify her.
Would you stop it?
Throw a bucket of water on her and see what happens. Throw a bucket of water on her and see what happens. I'll bet she melts.
See, it's Wicked Witch humor. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I know he makes the rounds to sort of drum up business for the Sunday show, which is dead last and always has been.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, he appears on a show like that, and he pretends, oh, stop it, why are you making those cracks? You know, they do it all the time, and you know, Chris Wallace is supposed to be the last sort of serious journalist in the Fox News umbrella.
Yep.
And it's just embarrassing.
All right. Well said. Eric Bollert from Media Matters. See you next week, honey.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Oh, by the way, we will be on next week, next Monday.
Right.
I know it's a holiday, but we'll be giving
President's Day.
Yes, we'll be giving you a fresh live show.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy.
Yes.
All right, Sarah in Colorado. Hello, Sarah.
Good morning, folks. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Your nails are pretty, too, if I can put my 2 cents in.
Thank you.
I have a couple things, and I don't want to take up time because I know you're not on, and I'm going to get somebody else. But I have a few topics I'd like to speak about. May I?
Okay.
Mother, may I?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Did you folks see Dr. Carson the other day at the National Prayer Breakfast?
No.
It's been a big thing. Did you see him?
No, I did not.
Did your other staff see him? Because he was right on target, and he had Obama squirming in his seat, what he was talking about, and I was happy to see that.
What was he talking about?
Oh, he was talking about taxes, fairness, we should tithe and be fair, and that we've got a deficit that won't quit. And we do. Let's face it. We've got to get out
definite?
Of this mess.
Deficit. You mean deficit?
The deficit.
Deficit.
I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm terribly sorry. The other thing in my laundry basket.
Is the president said he's against tithing? Why would that make the president squirm?
I don't think he said that. No, Dr. Carson said that we should do tithing as opposed to this class warfare. Well,
as opposed to paying taxes.
Thing.
Sure, that would work.
Your fair share. I don't even know what the fair share is.
Fortunately, that wouldn't contribute to the deficit at all. If we don't pay taxes, we just tithe.
No.
Yeah, not all of us go to
that.
Church, too, so.
Yeah.
Well, here's another thing I'd like to say, if I may.
Try this one. Run this one up your flagpole.
Okay.
Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay, thank you. I was just appalled, and please don't be angry with me because I'm neither Republican or Democrat. I wouldn't dare get
you're an independent. Just stumbled across my show?
And likes to hear both sides.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I am independent. I don't know if that means anything. But I was really, Stephanie, I was very appalled when Hillary Clinton said, what difference does it make after four people have died?
That wasn't what she... Turn it off, Fox News. That wasn't what she... said.
Out of context.
She didn't say what difference does it make if people die.
No.
Okay. All right. God. I bet you she's a small business owner. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, look.
Stephanie Miller.
Hello, Mr. Beaver.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Jessica in Maine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hello, Jess.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
Okay, two things. One not so serious and one very serious.
Okay.
Not so serious is how to get through Nemo is to go to a hotel for a reunion with friends and drink all weekend.
There you go. Party.
Bottom line.
All right.
But the serious thing is with the sequester, when that goes into effect March 1st. It's not like the fiscal cliff that we went over for a day or two and backed off.
Right.
Once it goes into effect, that means that, and I know a lot of people who work for the Department of Defense, that all civilian employees will only be allowed to work 4 days a week, take a 20% pay cut, and that lasts through September 30th, the end of the fiscal year. Once it goes in, that's it. It's done, and there's no changing it.
Yep.
So all these people, you know, like people who got kids that they signed up for college and they filled out their FAFSAs, and now they got to refile them because they got a whole lot less income, and they'll still be expected to do all the work they're supposed to do supporting, you know, the active duty military who are on 24/7, but they're only allowed 32 hours a week.
Yep, absolutely. All right, good points, Jess.
Take care.
Okay, then. Bye bye. Let's go to Jared in Illinois. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Jared.
Hey, how are you doing this
good.
Morning?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. I've heard, you know, so much about this deficit. You know, I'm a 24-year-old professional myself, and I'm really glad that the president is doing and taking steps to help reduce the deficit. But really, it's not, you know, 4% is not going to make a difference. You know, we spend more on our military and defense than the top 20 nations combined. And it's just, it's unsustainable. I feel bad for the people that work at the Department of Defense, or as they used to call it, the Department of War, because we now use Orwellian terms for warmongering instead of peace.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unsustainable. You know, my generation, the 24-year-olds, we're not going to have Social Security, and we're not going to have any of the safety net that we're paying into, but taxes just keep going up. I feel bad because there's literally and financially no way out of this deficit. It's unsustainable.
Yeah, 4% is a few drops in the bucket, though, and once you get enough drops, then you can empty the bucket.
The point of it is that President Obama, you know, again, he's making great strides, not criticizing the president. He's inherited a lot of bad things, but when you're looking at a $15, $16 trillion deficit and you're cutting a couple billion or a couple hundred billion over 10 years, that's just paying the interest. It's like a mortgage on a house. If you have a $150,000 loan and you're only paying the minimum payments, you're going to be stuck on that, and you're never going to be able to pay it off.
But defense cuts are just one part of a bunch of things.
Right, yeah,
also,
and obviously that's why...
lifting the cap
tax,
on Social Security would make a big difference.
Raising more revenue from taxes is also a key... It is not doable without that.
Right.
And our friend Paul Krugman was on yesterday as well, saying, once again, this is the austerity is the absolute last thing you should do right now.
Mm-hmm. And Pentagon cuts should not be off the table.
Roberta in Washington, D.C. Hello, Roberta.
Hi, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
I was calling in. I enjoy your show for about a year or so ago we discovered you.
Oh, good.
But anyway, just wanted to let you know that we have come up with an idea to defend against Republican speak. It is a mirror. They hold it up to all Republican speaking and know that what they say is reflects back on them. It is them they're
it's
talking
the, I
about.
It's the I know you are, but what am I strategy?
I'm sorry?
It's the I know you are, but what am I strategy?
That's exactly.
Right.
That's exactly it. They simply, everything they say about Democrats or independents really is what applies to them.
Yep.
And that's pretty much what my defense mechanism. And I'm here in the land of taxation without representation.
In D.C. Well, you know, and you seem happy and giddy about it. You know what? I'm going to give you a $50 Pro Flowers gift card just for your trouble this morning, all right?
Thank you so much, Stephanie, and we love you.
I love you, too. Hang on. $50 Pro Flowers gift card. If you're looking for flowers for Valentine's Day, it's Thursday.
I know.
Go. ProFlowers.com. Click on the microphone. Type in Stephanie. Click on the little microphone, upper right-hand corner.
Yep.
Type in Stephanie.
Easy.
Do it. Do it.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Get it. Okay. Oh, we just finished Right Wing World. How hilarious is this? Did you see? Don't tell Fox News they've got a picture of a lesbian couple for a column on traditional marriage gender roles.
Ha.
It's
yeah.
It's
two chicks.
It looks like a dude.
Yeah, it's two chicks.
They're using him.
That's great.
Fox News column about traditional gender roles in a marriage is accidentally accompanied by a photograph of two lesbian newlyweds exchanging a kiss. Oh no! It's a FoxNews.com column. It's written by that gal, Suzanne Vanker. Remember her,
the niece
of Phyllis Schlafly.
That's right. Ugh.
And a previous offer, remember that column that Jackie and I talked about, the roundly panned column, how it's all women's fault that there's a battle of the sexes?
Mm.
That girl. Her latest column, titled, To Be Happy, We Must Admit Men and Women Aren't Equal, laments that in modern marriage, men and women have no idea who's supposed to do what, all because of feminists who preach a new way of thinking about gender. And then there's a picture of the aforementioned lesbian bride kissing.
Yep. It's a lovely tuxedo she's wearing, though.
Oops. Lee in Oregon, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Lee. Hello, Lee.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I'd like to bring up one point that I have you not yet heard about the post office.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we know about the pre-funding of retirement. We know about having to stick to cost of living and no more in raises. But we also, what we don't talk about is that when postal workers start being laid off, say the first 25,000, then we are going to start paying taxes for their unemployment insurance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when we start laying off postal workers, then it'll start costing us taxes, which it doesn't now.
Yep. No, it is a good point.
Yeah, I just don't understand the Republicans' obsession with destroying the post office, which is...
Yeah.
Mandated by the Constitution, by the way.
Yeah, it's still a pretty good deal, by the way. What is it, like 42 cents to send a letter?
Oh,
from
sweetie.
Something.
Oh, honey.
Bless my heart.
Bless your heart. It's like 46 or 47 now.
Okay, right.
I think it's gone up a few
times.
That's
pretty amazing.
42 cents.
But people who live in rural
areas. Yeah, you just
hand
it to Travis and he takes care of it.
I give them like S&S scream stamps that my mom. Oh, I'm sorry. Are those the wrong kind?
S&H.
S&H.
S&M green stamps.
Right, S&M green stamps.
Oh, honey.
S&M, wow.
Oh, bless my heart. I am so sad. Okay. President Obama's nominee would be the first openly gay federal court of appeals judge.
Sweet.
Since taking office, President Obama has quadrupled the number of openly gay judges on the federal bench. Prior to his presidency, there was not one openly gay judge with a lifetime appointment to the federal bench. Today, there are four. To date, though, no openly gay lawyer has served as a federal appellate judge or Supreme Court justice in his first term, although, never mind. I'm just saying, didn't Justice Souter live with his mom? I'm just saying, I don't know. Okay.
Oh.
Okay. In his first term, President Obama nominated openly gay attorney Edward Dumont to serve on the United States Court of Appeals for the Federal Circuit, but Dumont eventually withdrew his nomination after 18 months of one or more members of the Senate Judiciary Committee minority Republicans obstructing his confirmation.
Hmm.
Yesterday, the president announced he would take another shot at placing an openly gay judge on the same court, nominating Department of Justice Attorney Todd Hughes to fill a seat on the federal circuit. Yay.
Somebody who should have made right-wing world today is Joe Walsh, not the guy from the Eagles.
No.
Who
Tea Party
going,
guy from Illinois that just lost.
Going after Michelle Obama for attending the funeral of Hadiya Pendleton, says in his tweets, heartbroken with quotation marks. I guess the other 553 murder victims didn't break her heart.
What? He's
just
a jerk.
God.
He's just a jerk.
You are an idiot!
Really?
What a
person thinks so? I did. He is a sphincter.
Hello, he farted.
Wow. Seriously, who wants to, you know what? There's a family in pain. Like, wait, really? Just, you need to tweet about that subject, because, okay. The girl just performed at the inaugural parade. That's why
you're
okay.
And he's claiming that Michelle Obama is politicizing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow, look in the mirror, pal.
All right. I was mentioning this study earlier that the states, oddly, coincidentally, Jim, the states with the most amount of guns and the laxest gun laws somehow have the highest per capita gun death rates.
Coincidence.
In a weird coincidence.
That they don't have enough guns.
A group of California Senate Democrats rolled out a legislative package that would create what would likely be the tightest gun regulation system in the nation. Here are the fun facts from it.
All right.
Number one, ban all semi-automatic rifles that accept detachable magazines. Yay. Ban possession of high-capacity magazines. Ban bullet button conversion kits. It bans shotgun-rifle combinations, universal registration of all guns, background checks on ammunition, regulating gun loans, you know, loaning your gun to prevent, prohibited individuals from living in homes with guns, cracking down on people who can't own guns legally but do anyway, and required safety training for handgun owners. Oh, that'll make the gun nuts crazy.
Yeah, make them go ape bump.
Great. Yeah, this is, we were saying, this is, the headline is, Democrats hug Second Amendment while rolling out gun plan. I mean, members of the House Democratic Gun Violence Task Force put a heavy emphasis on the Second Amendment when they rolled out their policy recommendations Thursday. I think there's just still this after, like, shock of, like, having to be afraid of the NRA or how you talk. You have to say, oh, we love the Second Amendment, love my gun, love my, and it, you know. From speaking directly to hunters to telling a personal story of a family defended from roving bands of racist thugs, Democrats praise the right to possess firearms and promise they're not ever going to touch it as they work to reduce gun violence after the Newtown, Connecticut school massacre.
I really think they should enforce the Third Amendment because there's just rampant housing of redcoats in people's houses. And
right.
I think it should stop.
Someone needs to get on that. Exactly. Jesse in North Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jess. Hello, Jess. Jesse. Okay. Joe in Minnesota. Hi, Joe.
Hi. Yeah, I'm just a little kind of irritated with your young professional that called who keeps saying how services go down and our taxes go up when, in fact, our taxes are the lowest they've been since well before that idiot was even born.
Thank you. Thank you. That professional idiot. All right. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's the life of the Democratic Party. Ignore the lampshade. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Officially old.
What?
Jim's like, I tried to watch the Grammys. I don't know who they are.
Are these young kids?
You like Mumford and Sons?
No, I do. Yeah,
they won Best Album.
Right.
I tried to, and I'm like, I don't know.
You don't know what they're
loud.
Although.
Gautier. He won. I know that song, though. Somebody that I used to know.
Yeah.
I like that song.
Yeah.
See, that's, you have to sing it to Grandma. And you know, ow!
You know we are young.
Sure.
Except the guy just admitted that they're really not that young anymore. They've been doing that for 12 years.
Well, yeah. You know that song, right?
Which one?
We Are Young by Fun.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Don't make me play it for you.
I don't know. Okay.
Wait a minute. Here.
What?
Here.
Oh, for God's sakes. Okay. All right.
That's not it. No.
No, that's not it. I know that.
You know that one?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know that one either. Oh, is this it?
Oh, that's not it.
No. All right. Stop. Jeez. Just stop before you hurt yourself. Oh.
This is it.
Oh, is this it? Give me a second. I need to get my story straight. Oh, I love that song.
Yeah.
Okay. I love that song.
Well, they won two Grammys last night.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Got it. Donna in Kansas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi.
You were wondering a while ago about why the Republicans were going after the post office.
Uh-huh.
Because they want to destroy the Postal Workers Union.
Oh, yep. There's always some anti-union thing in there, isn't there?
Yeah. The Postal Workers Union is one of the strongest in government.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Republicans are just trying to destroy unions.
Yep.
That's why nobody was happy on the Republican side when Obama saved the auto workers.
Yep, absolutely. Right. You're the smartest girl in class. Guess what you get? Sherry's Berries.
Wow.
Hang on. Okay, $50. Yay. Sherry's Berries gift card for amazing Valentine's Day deals on giant, giant freshly dipped strawberries.
I don't think they're that giant.
From Sherry's Berries. Go to berries.com, click on the mic, type in the code Stephanie.
They're not as big as basketballs, but they're as big
as
baby's fists.
Ginormous baby's fists, yes. Or a really large Brussels sprout. Okay.
Ew.
Only they taste
chocolate-covered Brussels
a million
sprout.
Times better.
Right. Okay.
Especially with the decorative swizzle.
Right? For shizzle.
Mm-hmm.
Anna Marie Cox wrote a great piece. We were talking to Eric Bowler about this. Can Fox News break its fatal embrace with irrelevance and the Republican Party? It's just so much fun, the disarray stories. She writes in The Guardian, after a decade of phenomenal ratings growth, America's leading conservative media brand faces a crisis of ideological identity. Recent headlines about Fox News have given liberals gleeful schadenfreude. Dick Landslide Morris gone ratings the lowest since 2001, yada, yada, yada. The marriage between the network and the party has been almost entirely beneficial to both entities. Working together, brazenly, even explicitly so, has been a force multiplier for the GOP brand and message. The question appears to be, who will let go first? Oh, it's a love story gone wrong.
Isn't it
sad? Jettisoning Morris and Palin suggests Fox is loosening its grip and attempting to edge away from the Tea Party-based ideological rigor that weighed down the GOP in 2012. But almost simultaneously, Republicans have been speaking publicly about breaking away from their dependence on the network. Oh, it's who's breaking up with who's story.
Yeah.
See? Fox is great, but those viewers already agree with us. How else are the different demographics going to know you if you never reach out to them, said one strategist. No matter who may be trying to end the marriage first, extricating itself in the relationship won't be graceful. It's got to be
ugly.
There's going to be drunk dialing.
And, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Drunk emails in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Throw his CDs onto his front porch.
Right. Probably every morning there's a drunken message from Clarence Thomas's wife on the machine. It's a positive feedback loop that spirals into irrelevance. Republicans pursue a conspiracy theory that only Fox viewers believe based on reports only Fox airs, and new information gets hammered into a shape that fits the existing narrative.
Yep.
Oh, how will it all end? It's another love story gone wrong.
I love Anna Marie Cox.
She's
great.
She's awesome.
Speaking of love stories gone wrong, I think Taylor Swift has jumped the snark. You know,
really?
She's mocking Harry Styles or recent
from One Direction.
And mocking sort of quasi-British accent. You know, it's just starting to get a little crazy.
But then there was Katy Perry's boobs.
Meeting her should be for a guy like that slow motion carpet commercial. No, you're just gonna end up as a song. Don't, Jesse in North.
It's a cookbook.
Jesse in North Carolina. Hi, Jess.
Hey, Steph.
Hello.
Two things I want to say really quickly. First of all, with regard to the post office, if they continue to do this, what they're really doing is disenfranchising the rural communities. And the only way that the post office can continue to maintain its supremacy is to enforce its monopoly. And that's the only way that they're going to be able to compete against these private companies such as FedEx and UPS.
Did you know that FedEx though uses the post office for some of its
right,
deliveries?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
They do. Imagine the irony there.
Yeah.
Second of all, you know, I just want to say that, you know, I saw your show last year. I loved it. I loved you. And I'm like really mildly obsessed with you.
Uh-oh.
With who?
You.
Oh, me.
This.
Oh, awesome.
I can't have you. I will settle for a gift card instead.
Aw, yep. I'm all out today, but try again tomorrow.
No.
Tomorrow? Try
again tomorrow. We're giving away two more tomorrow.
All right. John in St. Louis. Hello, John.
Hey, Stephanie. How's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to get your take on the administration's rationalization of drone strikes overseas on American citizens.
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Yes.
What about it?
Hello.
Yeah. I apologize. I haven't really...
You just stumbled upon my show?
I listen to a lot of conservative radio.
You listen to both sides.
Yeah, you do.
You're an independent. You listen to both sides.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
All right. Okay. All right. Robert Gates on the drone situation.
First of all, the numbers, I believe, are extremely small. And second, you do have the ability to limit that collateral damage more than with any other weapon system that you have.
Hello, Stephanie. I am an independent, and I just stumbled across your show. And, of course, I called all the right-wing shows and said the exact same thing when George Bush was doing it.
Uh-huh.
I'm just wondering how you would answer for the president's hypocrisy on this issue. I'll take your answer off air.
Yeah. Well, liberals are very upset about it.
Yes.
Actual liberals.
Yes. Senator John McCain at the...
Since when is the intelligence agency supposed to be an air force of drones that goes around killing people? I believe that it's a job for the Department of Defense.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That could be.
The CIA has been out of control in the past.
Yeah. But as far as weapons systems go, it does produce a lot less collateral damage than a Hellfire missile.
Mm. Yeah.
It does.
You know. Well, they use Hellfire missiles, drones.
Yeah.
That's That's where they come from.
That's what we were saying. The gun nuts think that's the only regulation. We should all be able to have a drone, but not with a health
arm. You know, people are upset with Julian Assange and for reporting the killing of those journalists. And, you know,
right.
they thought that people shouldn't be allowed to see that. Well, I think we should.
I think we should be.
We got to know what we're paying for.
Absolutely.
You know, because.
Oh, by the way, here's a real.
Wheel idea. Of right-wing hypocrites!
Ron Paul wants ronpaul.com so badly he's asking the UN, which he's against, for help.
Yeah.
Against his own supporters. The group behind the sites announced Friday that Paul had filed a complaint with the World Intellectual Property Organization, a global governing body that is an agency of the UN, to expropriate the two domain names from his supporters without compensation.
Yeah. Wow.
That is fabulous. Nice.
Well, what's funny, he tried to use the free market. He didn't like the price that he was offered, so then he went to the UN.
So now he's like, I love the UN. Help me.
That's hysterical.
I want to get rid of the fire department. My house is on fire. Why didn't you put it out?
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, David from North Carolina writes, how will it end the Fox GOP war? You just read from an article from Anne Marie Cox that ended with the question, how will it end? I'm guessing it'll be like War of the Roses. Dick Morris will be crushed under a giant chandelier.
Right? Yeah, the actual War of the Roses.
Sarah Palin's on top of the chandelier.
Yeah.
That's lovely. Okay. Oh, it's a love letter for Hal. Kathy writes, Steph, I know you have the gay on you, but how can you sit so close to Hal Sparks every Wednesday and not get tingly all over? I do. That's the day I go to questioning. I just saw him at the Ice House last night. He is absolutely dreamy. If he can't turn you hetero, it just can't be done. Yeah, that is my gay to questioning day. Okay. Telling you what. And guess where you can see him live?
Hey, Chicago, you say twice isn't enough?
15 is my limit.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is returning to the Chicago Theater on April 13th.
Hal's hometown.
With filthy mouths and bad attitudes.
Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Come see the tour that sparked the number one comedy album and its own TV documentary.
Who can argue with that?
The Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour at the Chicago Theater on April 13th. Sweet Home Chicago is about to get a little more sugar from Mama.
Tickets going fast. Get it. Go. One of the only three shows this year. That's the big Midwestern show. And then there'll be a West Coast show later on in the year. But that's it. That's it. Go. Get it.
What West Coast city? Do we know?
Oh, we don't know.
Really?
Lissa writes, now that I've seen it, I agree with Chris. Step, your ass is spectacular. Lissa.
See, I've been saying that for 8 years now.
Thank you. Where's the ass town today? Hello.
Why don't you get up and show people?
Stop it. This is...
What?
People on the radio, they'll be jealous. Okay. All right. Oh, and one more. Oh, another love letter. Thank you. Mary in Tucson. Mom, I'm forwarding a copy. This just appeared on the recommended list of Daily Kos. I wanted to make sure you saw it. It's in praise of Stephanie Miller.
Oh.
I know you describe your show as a Mensa meeting with fart jokes. True. True that. But understand what you and the Mooks do is really, really important. You bring joy, laughter, and comfort to many, many folks who are dealing with a variety of situations. You remind us to laugh in the face of adversity. This is powerful because it makes us feel strong. Somebody named Boiler Man. Very cute. One day Current TV picked up Stephanie Miller. It was like a magnificent dawn and a blast of fresh air.
Blast of fresh methane.
Right. Anyway, it's very sweet. He writes, Stephanie Miller has helped me and her crew have helped me a lot in dealing with my cancer, taking my mind off the problem. For that, I thank her so much. Whether it's providing a hilarious send-up of politics and the Republican tomfoolery, he says.
Huh.
Or having Judy Tenuta reminding us that it could happen.
Could happen.
Or running gags with Chris and Jackie and tales of her lonely life, which sounds pretty damn active to me. It's both active and lonely. Lee Papa John Fugle saying Hal Sparks, Carl Frisch, Jim, Chris, on and on. Various Congress people's calls from all to make the show a blast to listen to in DVR. It helps an old man with cancer for an eye. Boiler Man, we love you. We love you. By the way, have I reminded you that I'm not just a woman, I'm an app?
You are an app.
Right. Sid in Santa Rosa. Staff, I had such a great time with you in Vegas. You can take me anywhere with you now. I'm a podcast. I'm an app.
Oh, you took your podcast.
I'm a contraceptive foam. You
really?
Didn't bug me. You were always there via your app when I stumbled back to my room after losing my daily gambling allowance. Apparently, we had a great time in Vegas, baby Vegas.
You don't go to Vegas a lot, do you?
No, but my app does.
I can't picture you in Vegas.
No, I hate Vegas.
Yeah, I know.
I don't have the stomach for it. I lost like a quarter in a slot machine once. I'm like, I'm out!
Well, you don't have to gamble. There's other stuff to do there.
You lost the entire bucket of quarters.
Yeah, I don't. Really? Yeah. All right, Rocky Mountain Mike, by the way, we've been having an ongoing debate about Zero Dark Thirty, which, of course, like most movies, I fell asleep during the first 10 minutes, and so I can't really render a full opinion.
Sure.
But Rocky Mountain Mike said, just watched it, lots of torture, but I think the movie pretty clearly shows the information it yielded was very indirect in the discovery of Osama bin Laden's whereabouts, great movie making. So he agrees with high-strung, sexy liberal tour director Rowling, right?
I think if you have it on in the background as, you know, as noise while you're cleaning the house or something, you might come to the conclusion that we got the information through torture. But if you look at it as, you know, if you look at it with some seriousness.
I have to watch the whole thing and,
yeah.
And stay awake. Because as someone pointed out to me this weekend, I go to bed at the same time as babies and milkmen.
You and me. You and me both.
Okay.
Except all the milkmen retired 30 years ago.
Yeah.
I remember one night I was particularly tired. My friend was like, my friends are still at work. Really? You're going to bed? Yeah, it's very sad.
Yeah.
Okay. This is just a couple of quirk stack, or I don't know. I guess it's trial stack.
Okay.
I hate when this happens, Jim. Man's prosthetic eye falls out during trial. Judge declares a mistrial.
Oh!
So, if you're wondering how to get a mistrial, that would work. I'll never forget. You remember the caller I had on the evening show 1,000 years ago?
The guy whose eyes calcified and fell out of his head.
Right.
Yeah.
I've never started a conversation like that. Stephanie, both of my eyes have calcified and been removed from my head.
I didn't know that was possible.
During an assault trial in Philadelphia, a man's prosthetic eye fell from its socket, resulting in gasps from the jury and a mistrial.
I hate when that happens.
He was on the witness stand testifying about losing his left eye in a fight in 2011. He began to cry, and it caused the glass eye to...
Oh, gee.
He luckily caught the eye. Good reflexes. Good hand-eye coordination. Several jury members rose as if they needed to leave. Okay. I'm out.
I got a thing with an eye.
Okay.
I got a thing with an eye.
I should have done that during my brief, you know, appearance in court on my dog off a leash ticket to see if I could get out of that. You're really going to give me
your
a...
eye out.
Blah, He's a seeing eye. Blah. Okay. This one, if you're eating, I'd stop now.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Jesse from Iowa sends me a future...
Iowa?
Wife and husband stack for you from New York. You know your mother loves you when she's willing to smuggle oxycodone into the jail where you're incarcerated, especially when she passes you the pills via an open-mouth kiss.
Oh.
Oh!
Yikes.
I just think I'm going to burst.
Particularly if you see the pictures.
Blah.
This is what the investigators alleged transpired last Tuesday when Kimberly Margeson visited her offspring in upstate New York's lockup. Her son was being held following a weapons arrest. According to the sheriff's report, Margeson put the oxycodone pills in her mouth and brought them into the jail where she visited her son. She passed two pills from her mouth to her son's mouth when she kissed him.
Well, she could have been carrying them somewhere else.
I guess.
Deputies did not indicate whether tongue was...
No!
Was involved in the transfer.
One would expect because you'd need to push the pills out of one mouth and put them into another. The tongue would be used for that.
All right.
Wow.
Sorry. I apologize.
Visit you and do naked handstands.
Tony in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tony. Hello, Tony.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. Good. Go ahead.
Yes. My comment is, I think if the Republican Party be so stupid, let this cheap frustration go through, it can be a win-win for the Democratic Party because they're going to have to come up with a stimulus package right off of that. And they're going to get the president everything he wants. So I think the Republican Party is not looking at the bigger picture. I think the Democratic Party is really not looking at the bigger picture. Because if it goes through, they're going to have to come up with a stimulus package to offset all these cuts. And that right there is going to get the Democratic Party and this president everything he wants at the end of the day.
Yeah, well, I think so, too. And as people keep pointing out, there was an election. And there was an election. And everything David Gregory says, I just go, yeah, there's an election. Okay, anyone on all those issues. Okay. Steve in North Carolina. Hi, Steve. Welcome.
Hey. Hi, Steffi.
Hi.
One of your longtime fans, first-time caller as usual. Your screener asked me just to throw one question, but if you let me, the first question's an easy one. If you let me sneak that second one in, I'd love it. Why doesn't anybody at these conferences, when Senator Graham stands up and makes these all kinds of statements about Benghazi and everything else, say, who voted to lower the funds to protect our embassies?
Yep.
You know, a simple yes or no. Did you vote against, you know, for this thing to lower the funds?
Yep.
And the other thing quickly is I think
Hillary Clinton got that in, didn't she?
Yeah, I think she tried get it in, but, you know, they were really on top of her all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is I do taste right-wing world like you do every once in a while. Down here we have somebody named Doug Gellert, who's fairly rational on things. And he had a speaker on this morning named Bridget from America.org.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, she went a little bit of an accent, very articulate, but she went off on all the old things, like where was Obama born, and, you know, all the support of all the Muslims, and really he must be a Muslim and everything else. Have you ever heard of America.org?
No, I have not. I have not. I'm guessing some right-wing whack thing. Okay. James in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yeah, I live in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and I listen to both left-wing and right-wing radio.
Uh-huh,
so you put a
sound
effect after that. There you go.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm a gun owner, and I found the fact that my city government is sponsoring at taxpayer expense a gun buyback to be very offensive.
You find the
offensive?
Gun... Why would it be offensive?
Very.
Don't sell yours back, then.
Well, because at my... With my taxpayers, my city government is paying for the destruction of a constitutionally protected right.
Oh,
why don't they
just
buyback?
No, they're not. It's optional. You don't have to sell your gun back.
I don't have to sell my gun back, but what it simultaneously does is waste money that could be used for something else, and it also makes all those gun owners look like a bunch of criminals that have the opportunity to anonymously slink in and sell a gun
back. James, I just did a story today. They just did a new analysis. Literally all of the states with the most guns and the most lax gun laws have the highest per capita gun deaths. I mean, you don't think there's any connection that maybe less guns, and if buybacks accomplish that, that doesn't help in some way?
Google this. The number one safest city in America has the laxest gun laws. It's El Paso, Texas, of all places.
Has the laxest gun laws?
The very lax gun laws, and it's the number one safest
where did you
city
get,
in
where did you get these statistics?
Just Google it. Just like
no,
you
I'm asking you where you got those statistics.
You're saying it's the safest city? What's your point?
You're saying that basically places that, I don't know, like L.A. that has a lot of gun control is a safe city and has no crime?
No, I'm saying per capita gun deaths.
El Paso is quite a bit smaller than L.A.
Right.
No.
I'm saying per capita gun deaths, the states with the highest number of guns.
Google it.
Okay. Well, fine. I've never been told that quite so aggressively. All right. Just saying, a Red Sox rookie just shot himself. Red Sox prospect Bryce Brentz. Oh, dear. He actually shot himself. He was at home in Tennessee cleaning a gun, accidentally went off. He's going to be fine, but he did in fact. Yes, just saying.
Oh, son of a bitch! I just got myself.
I think if you're going to own guns, you should be able to tell when there are no bullets in it. That might be,
for instance.
Sure.
Just briefly, I have to read a little of this. Steph, this message I copied and pasted below was in my email. This is the stuff that's out here, conspiracy stuff.
Oh, okay.
Overwhelming evidence has surfaced to prove that Sandy Hook is a hoax. For example, the recently released CNN helicopter footage that is supposed to show children escaping from the school is obviously set somewhere else. The quote-unquote grieving parents are surprisingly joyful during their interviews. What? The footage from the earliest hours of the incident shows a traffic pattern that makes it impossible for emergency vehicles to operate. I mean, this stuff is
Come on.
I mean. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Taking back God, taking back the flag, taking back America, and all before breakfast. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Let me be.
On the microphone. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm new at this. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Greg, I believe, is engaging in some snark. Hello, Stephanie. I'm an independent caller who happened to stumble upon your show and know I voted for the Democrat ticket in 2008. I'm disappointed with Obama's lack of bipartisanship by nominating only a few cabinet posts that are Republicans, as opposed to the one token George W. Bush nominated to get the senator from Louisiana to give his Senate seat up. Clearly, if Obama was bipartisan, he would capitulate to every single thing the Republicans want. Oh, and why don't we have enough Republican folk on the morning talk shows? Can we add more? Snark. Okay. Thank you. I get it. It's snark. Mike in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Hi, go ahead.
You know, the reason, I'll be honest, I grew up in New York.
Okay.
And in the 60s, the dope came into the neighborhoods. And it affected everybody. And it also, I had a friend of mine that sold dope in New York. And he gave me a list of the judges and lawyers he was paying off. The same thing in Congress. You trusted the politician. Today, the ends justify the means. And they get bought off. They don't serve the people. And all they worry about their next election. Now,
who is the dope dealer in this analogy?
In the Army, why do you go there? I want to get an education. I want job security. We went in there to serve the country.
Right.
They don't give nothing.
Can we go back
to
the dope for a minute? What did I missed that analogy.
Dealer?
Hello?
Yes. All right. I'm guessing they drummed him out of Hollywood.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood. So you come crawling back to Broadway.
Right.
Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for
right.
me.
Right.
I guess Broadway wasn't one of the neighborhoods that had
no.
the dope.
Had the dope.
The dope.
The dope,
the dope came into the neighborhood.
I just haven't heard that expression in quite some time. Okay. Nudie, my new friend from the Charlotte Airport, delivered a warning to the Republican Party and a letter to his supporters urging them to come around when it came to the immigration reform as part of the rebuilding process. A party that appears to ignore people won't get the chance to make the case for its principles, any of them. They won't be ignored, apparently, politically, the Hispanics, and that's a problem for them.
I'm not going to be ignored!
Yes. Gingrich slammed Mitt Romney for his immigration policy, saying statements like his much-maligned call for self-deportation contributed to the GOP losing support among communities of color.
Communities of euphemism.
Well, looky here. Senator Mark Begich, a Democrat in a Republican-leaning Alaska,
yep.
is sure to be targeted by Republicans in 2014. His seat a must-pickup if the GOP hopes to control the Congress's upper chamber. But Begich showing surprising strength and popularity. According to a new survey, he has a 49% job approval rating, 39% disapproval, mm-hmm. and he has a big, big lead, 54-38% over former governor Sarah Palin.
She's thinking about running?
Palin's numbers are a reflection of her continuing...
Also, too. But she quits!
to be very unpopular on the home front, 34% of the voters here positively to 59% with a negative opinion. only one politician is less popular, Joe Miller, the Tea Party guy. Begich would wipe the floor with Miller by 58%, 30 margin.
Hmm.
Apparently, Sarah Palin did call the Vatican this morning and say, how's that Popey Changey thing working out for you? it's a joke. Rocky Mountain Mike wrote.
I do not understand what you mean. I'm German.
Okay. All right. So, as we know, Fox News gave her the old heave-ho.
That's right.
Along with Dick Morris. Dick Morris.
Gave her the Heisman.
Right. Exactly. Dick Morris removal from Fox News. On account of gross electoral wrongness, Jonathan Chait writes, means he's auditioning at CNN. Morris unveiling the last turn in his own brand. He's reinventing himself as a Republican moderate. He said, I'm trying to explore ways in which the Republican Party can make itself viable nationally so it can win national elections without sacrificing its basic principles. That's the mission I've set for myself.
I'm guessing not with you. That's not
Wow. Yeah, that's his latest magical transformation.
I predict the Republicans win next year in a landslide.
Right, because of him saving the Republican Party with his new ideas.
Yeah, like running Condi Rice.
as president.
Condit, buy my book, Condit versus Hillary. It's going to be the...
He's the wave of the future.
He's the wrongiest congressman ever in the history of law. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, Jackie joins us.
Yes, Jackie's joining us.
We got celebrity stack. We got stuff. Stay tuned. Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If I have a take-up roller derby, what do you think my name should be? Bruisin B. Anthony, Alicia Sleaze, or Kohag?
How about Harlot O'Scara?
Oh, like, that's genius.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's bring a friend.
It's Shatner again.
Let's bust our little friend out of that there news center. Good morning, Jackie Shatner.
Good morning.
Okay, you know, like we always bring you weird things from the interwebs.
Of course.
Okay, Chris found a new one.
Yeah, text from the dog. Here. Okay. In all caps, it says, knocked bin over. Drank some stuff. What stuff? Don't know. Blue silver stuff. Angry cow. Red Bull? Probably. Brain feels all electric-y. lie down. Been burying stuff. What stuff? Microwaving stuff.
Dogs and Red
I
Bulls.
I want to text an action friend now.
Aww.
All right. And then this is really the right-wing fringe of the interwebs conspiracy stuff is really... Jackie, I was reading some of this that somebody sent me. The stuff out there about the gun nut, that's like the
could you be less specific? The stuff.
We were talking about the stuff out there saying that Sandy Hook is a hoax.
Thank you. It is incredible.
It is incredible. I assume you listen to every word I say.
Yes, absolutely, like Jim does, right? Jim? Every morning.
What? Sorry, did you say something?
Yes, they write, in spite of this, many people still manage to believe the TV version of the Sandy hoax drama. That's what they're calling it
Sandy
on the right-wing interweb, that it's a hoax.
Yeah, tell that to the parents of the kids who are dead.
Critics often say it's crazy to believe that Sandy Hook is a hoax, but this is simply an irrational emotional response.
I don't understand. How do you turn...
An irrational emotional response to having your kids shot in the face.
Yeah, how do you turn a tragedy like that into saying there's some sort of conspiracy?
They think it's a gun-grabber conspiracy. That it's all
We shot dead 26 people, including 20 children, because we want to pass new gun laws?
Well,
yes,
it only
makes sense.
I read that the beginning of it is overwhelming evidence has surfaced to prove Sandy Hook is a hoax. For example, the recently released CNN helicopter footage is supposed to show children escaping from the school, obviously set somewhere else. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, if you say it's overwhelming, then it must be overwhelming evidence.
Right, right. They go on to say high-capacity magazines are very important for fighting armed minions of a tyrannical government and deterring a foreign enemy invasion.
So disturbing and distasteful on a thousand levels.
Right. Wow. The ignorance of the public makes tyranny possible. Many people still believe the Sandy hoax made-for-TV drama story. This amazing feat of ignorance can only be explained by a mental disorder. This type of mass psychosis is one of the conditions necessary for a brutal regime to come to power with popular support. This type of mass psychosis has fueled the public support of murderous dictators like Hitler.
Oh,
project
boy.
All right. Once we get to Hitler, I'm out.
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
I think that when we expand our mental health records, we should include the people who believe that was a hoax.
Right.
Exactly.
They should be the first person on the list.
Yeah, exactly. So, by the way, when somebody was... Oh, Eric Bollert, this morning we were talking about... he talks... The NRA, they're only... solution, of course, is more good guys
more guns.
With guns, I guess, like
right.
more policemen in the schools. And we were talking about this thing going on out here, right? Cop on the loose out here, right?
But the story is incredible.
I know.
They haven't made any progress yet, really. I mean,
no.
As far as we can tell, the guy's still on the run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we were saying that apparently they're thinking about a drone now. Which is going to totally harsh some snowboarders' butts.
It's a drone with thermal imaging cameras,
right.
Not with Hellfire missiles.
No.
I mean, the latest news I heard is that they found some weaponry in the burned-out truck, and the truck had a broken axle, which
right.
is likely why he burned it. But there hasn't been any updates on...
I think there was a sighting of him at a Lowe's in Northridge.
It was a false sighting.
Oh,
but yeah,
it was.
They did kind of put the store on lockdown, and nobody was allowed to leave, and they did
a
search.
Have you heard... Have you heard the Only in Hollywood angle? Did you hear this? Charlie Sheen to alleged Los Angeles cop killer. Call me. He'll get this all sorted out.
You know what, though? CNN did that, too. I'm not entirely sure who it was, because I was in the radio. I was listening to it on the radio in the car.
Uh-huh.
But somebody on CNN said, you know, by the way, Christopher Dorner, you know, you should come to CNN and talk to us. That's the way to get your story out. I mean, it was...
What?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have to find the clip. But
well, CNN really is desperate these days, aren't they?
Yeah, we'll have to leave it there.
Yeah,
they actually made an offer. I'm trying to remember who it was, but they made an offer in one of the evening broadcasts for Dorner to come and tell a story on CNN.
Yeah, well, this is nearly as ridiculous. Charlie Sheen released an online video urging him, because apparently he was named in the guy's manifesto.
Right.
Right, Christopher Dorner's manifesto, in a rambling online statement in which Dorner threatened unconventional and asymmetrical warfare against the LAPD. He at one point described Sheen as effing awesome. In a brief video posted at TMZ, Christopher Dorner, Charlie Sheen, you mentioned me in your manifesto, so thank you for your kind words. I'm urging you to call me. Let's figure out together how to end this thing. Call me. I look forward to talking to you.
Hi.
Can this story get any weirder? Seriously.
No, but I will say that it's not fair to call, I mean, I'm not standing up for Dorner in any way, shape, or form, but the manifesto was not rambling.
Right.
It was actually, it was actually very well written and coherent. It's not the ramblings, it's not like you would expect it to be a ramblings of a madman and there's no logic to it. I mean, it was...
It made sense in some...
Thank you. Parts. Yeah, it made sense in that it was a coherent story, and I mean, it doesn't make sense in that he's a crazy person and he's killing people, But obviously, you can't say it was sort of this weird rambling diatribe because that's not what it was.
Well, to be fair to Charlie Sheen, his intervention with Lindsay Lohan's going very well. So
maybe
sure
he's a new goddess. Who knows?
All right. Here's another things that seem like a bad idea. Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio's volunteer posse had a special guest on Saturday. Steven Seagal.
Oh no.
Joined. As they tackled training scenarios in the event of a school shooting. Members of the group conducted their training at a shuttered elementary school with students volunteering to play the roles of victims to further simulate conditions of the attack, like the one at Sandy Hook. And so you got Joe Arpaio and Steven Seagal.
And Steven Seagal has posse training how?
He's on a reality show called Lawman, that thing.
Wait, so they're training kids to respond? Who are they training?
No, they're training posse members to respond to.
Right. And
it's all
just hanging out at elementary school?
Yes.
Well, some of Joe Arpaio's posse members have criminal backgrounds,
that's
as
you'll
recall.
Mm-hmm.
So that certainly seems like a good idea.
Oh, wow. I'm out of words at this point.
In other celebrity news, Gawker brings us the news today in a sentence you thought you'd never read. Nelson Mandela is a fan of toddlers and tiaras.
Yeah. Did you see that?
I did not see the headline, but I got to say, I'm sort of a closet fan, too.
Are you really?
Oh my God.
I mean, I don't DVR it.
I've watched episode 3. I have.
Guess what my insomnia wrought last night?
What?
Honey Boo Boo.
Oh,
why?
God.
I've never seen it. Oh, my God.
Joel McHale says that Mrs. Boo Boo looks like a thumb. Because she's just all head and neck, and it's the same width.
Here's the only silver lining in this story. There is a new reality show with his granddaughters. Nelson Mandela does not appear in it, so thank God.
Did you do Saturday Night Live? But they did a parody of all the reality shows on Bravo.
On Bravo, yeah.
And it was like, everybody has a show.
Yes.
It would be like, Stephanie Miller's Neighbor's Mailman has a show.
Oh, boy. All right, and one last one. Gawker brings us, Mariah Carey is so weird and rich and probably drunk, she celebrates Christmas in February.
Yep.
I love the crazy Mariah Carey. She's my favorite. I'm sorry. Earlier today, Mariah Carey posted almost 3 minutes of herself listening to herself. Specifically, her rendition. This would be like me drunk listening to my podcast at home. Seriously, when I hit there, it's time to put me out of my misery.
Does she listen to All I Want for Christmas Is You?
No, the Oh Come All Ye Faithful,
version
of that,
oh.
And rambling over the blaring music about celebrating Christmas in February. In the clip, she shows off a Christmas tree recently purchased in Connecticut, a roaring fire and decorations. She wishes everyone a Merry Christmas and an early Happy Valentine's
Day. Where does one buy a Christmas tree in February?
I have a Christmas tree up in February.
Well, I mean,
but it's not a newly purchased
one.
Yeah,
but you buy that in December. There are no Christmas tree lots in February.
Oh, best Valentine's sign I've seen yet in L.A.?
Yes.
A sign on the 99-cent store that says your Valentine's headquarters.
Oh.
Cheapskates.
Oh, wow.
Here, honey, I got you a sponge. All right.
Here, have your Valentine's gift from the dollar store. You better look for a new Valentine.
Have some yeast fruit. Yeah. Have some off-brand Comet.
Here's the spatula. Yeah. I love you. Are we having a loser party, all of us? For not you, Jim. You're married.
It's
but
on
the rest
Thursday
of us.
Night. I don't venture out on
Here's
Thursday night.
Spatula.
Nights.
Go make
That's
me something.
Right. At least we have excuse for being losers on Thursday, right?
Yeah.
I'll be asleep at 7 like every
exactly.
other day.
Like babies and milkmen. All right. Love you, Jackie Shatner. Thanks
Love
for stopping in.
Too.
Bye, Jackie.
Happy
Valentine's Yay. Happy Valentine's Day. All right. Ed in New York. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ed.
Hey, Stephanie. Long-time viewer and first-time caller.
Yes.
Love your show.
Thank
you. People crack me up.
Thank you.
Just regarding the post office crisis, the alleged crisis, it seems to me that somebody's going to great lengths to soften up the post office and make it look like it can't be profitable. Like, no matter how much postage you pay, they'll never be able to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think might be the motive? You think maybe somebody wants to turn this over to the private sector?
Yeah, that's, you know, Ed, we were just talking about that earlier. That's always the play. Union, right?
Yep.
There's always some anti-union thing in, mm-hmm. in you know, Republican stuff.
And the post office is famous for hiring a lot of African-Americans, too. So there could be that component as well.
Diane in Lansing, Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm so glad I stumbled upon your show.
Thank you.
I have an issue with the gentleman who called about the gun buyback program.
Uh-huh.
He said that taxes pay for that. Well, in my state, they have people donate to that. They don't pay taxes for that.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah,
what
in some jurisdictions, state. It's taxpayer-funded. Some, it's not.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make that clear.
All right. Thank you for that. Thanks. Appreciate it. Okay.
I know here in Los Angeles, if you sell back your gun, you get like a $100 gift card to Ralph's.
And a 99-cent store.
Spatula.
Spatula.
Off-brand comment.
Hi, Jerry in Sacramento.
Hello, Stephanie.
Yes.
I just wanted to sound a little Paul Revere warning here. I know we're all giggly about how the Republicans are killing themselves nationally, but locally they are winning the battle. We are fighting to keep our schools open here in Sacramento. They're closing 15. I'm sorry. They're closing 11 elementary schools, displacing 4,000 kids out of perfectly good schools. They're profitable. There's no reason to close these except the superintendent of the schools hired as his chief of staff the head of the local charter school industry. And our mayor is married to Michelle Rhee, who is the, you know, goddess of privatization of schools.
Mm. Right.
And so this is all local stuff, and I think people just need to make sure we're not too, like, distracted by all the bright, shiny stuff out of Washington and forget that we're losing our neighborhoods. And, you know, there's, like,
yep.
like I said, there's no reason why these kids are being kicked out of their schools. They're decimating neighborhoods.
Yep,
police
yep.
are concerned.
Yes, I say privatize everything. That's the answer. You know what? Let's rip up the roads. Seriously. Just make your own private road wherever you want to go. It's up to you. Okay. Don't be a socialist.
Have your own little toll road.
Okay.
Charge people to drive on
your road.
As
soon as you get off your driveway, you pay a toll. Imagine paying a toll every 5 feet.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
46 minutes after the hour, right back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's something funny going on in talk radio. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You know what I mean?
No, I don't.
My little turn on the catwalk.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the catwalk. On the catwalk, yeah. I do my little turn on the catwalk.
That's how I sprained my knee.
Yeah. Jim Ward's done for the cane this morning.
Yeah, why? Okay, is it a hurricane?
Huh?
Oh, it's it's a cane that they advertise on late night TV.
No, when I
get up at 2:30 in the morning,
stick.
That commercial.
No, it's also a chamois. It's a walking stick and a chamois.
And a chamois.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. 1-800-STEP-12 the phone number. Victor in Minneapolis. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Victor.
Hi, Stephanie. Say, I just wanted to call and tell you what I think about the gun buyback program.
Okay.
I think that most people who would take advantage of it would be the ones who can't sell the gun legally.
Hmm.
So they would go in and get rid of the gun that way.
Okay.
You know what? I'm an old-time gun grabber, Victor, so I don't care how we get him. I'm going to get it.
Not sure that's entirely legalistic going on.
The point is,
it works.
I'm going to get them all.
So.
Okay. All right. Oh, Jeff in Salem. Steph, I was listening to the podcast, only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance.
I've heard.
A good idea. What a Jim Dandy idea. I overheard you were in IKEA, and it took a long time to produce a stool. I'm afraid that that can happen when you get older. I suggest taking a daily laxative. Because I paid more for the handyman to put the stool together that I bought at IKEA than I actually paid for the stool itself. All right.
You're not handy, are you?
No, I'm not a handy. I'm not that kind of Les. Okay.
And you're not Swedish.
Oh, Jesse and I are with another future wife or husband's tech for me just in time for Valentine's Day.
Oh.
That's nice. He's a helper. A woman described as an aspiring pornography star and her father.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Everyone needs a dream.
Were arrested after a complaint from the woman's former girlfriend led to the discovery that the father and daughter were having a sexual... The woman, who was 16 or 17 at the time, said Hartford introduced Sayers as her husband-slash-father. Oh,
I just think I'm going to birth.
Isn't that supposed to set off alarm bells when someone is introduced as a spouse-slash-parent? Boy, I thought I've made some poor life choices, and you too, but wow. This is my husband and my love, my father and my lover.
My lover.
What?
Sister, daughter.
Yeah. Wow. That's creepy, creepy, creepy.
Yeah.
All right. A quirky smoothie shop owner in Utah trying to send a political message to his liberal customers by charging them extra and donating the money to conservative causes like the Heritage Foundation.
Yeah.
For every 16-ounce smoothie in his shop, he charges conservatives $4.95, and self-identified liberals are asked to pay an additional dollar.
That means they're going to go somewhere else.
Exactly.
That's a good
business model. God. He said, actually, all three liberals, I guess that's all that live in Utah, all three liberals have been happy to pay it. It's in a solidly red county. And see? Mm-hmm. Yeah, liberals don't mind. Yeah, common good.
Yeah, let's see him open that up in Los Angeles County.
Yeah.
See how far he gets.
Yeah, bring that garbage our way. Jamba Juice will kick your ass. All right. Jim, I have developed a Schwarzenegger stack.
Yeah.
I have so many built-up Schwarzeneggerian stories.
And all of this.
This is almost as disturbing as that last. There's a report an old photo of a young Arnold performing a sex act has come to life.
Oh, no.
Yikes.
No.
And really?
Things of this nature.
No.
And I don't even know which thing of that nature
we
this
don't
is.
Know which niche
I don't
nature
know which sex
a thing
I'm not sure
this
which
is.
Sex act.
Which type of thing? And
no.
And
of that. Which, and what kind of things are
nature?
Of that nature? You know, that was another one of our dreams that died. Remember when we've actually been on the air since he was governor?
Right.
And every time he would say at a press conference, and things of this nature.
These kinds of things, things of this nature.
We begged, and we know a lot of reporters out there,
and
we
all
begged,
of this.
Somebody please ask, what kinds of things are things of that nature?
Things which are not of this nature, but of that nature, and all of this.
But what other sort of things are exactly of that nature?
We've never known. The world may never know.
He says, this is good news for you, Jim, he likes it when people poke fun at his strong accent and his movie lines. As you recall, we could not get enough of the movie lines during the California. Yeah. Remember that? Oh, that wore thin after about a day.
I'm here to terminate the deficit. I'll be back, Ray Davis.
He didn't terminate the deficit.
Oh, okay.
It took a Democrat to do that.
Yes. Mm. Oh, he said it's no longer frightening. That's why he likes it when people mock his accent. He said in the 70s people were frightened of the German accent.
Well, it's actually Austrian.
Right. It's, well, you know.
It's technically, it speaks German.
Right. Right.
People in Germany might disagree with that.
Yeah. he says he just that he's 65 now. He says he gets better with age. He's in a new movie, right? The Last Stand.
I don't think it did very well.
No.
No.
He said I got older, I got wiser, I experienced certain things as governor that helped me with my performance.
Hmm.
Yes, you did do some acting for governor.
There was a performance.
I'm just talking about the housekeeper.
Yeah, I know.
The kid that looked just like him.
He
pretended that he didn't know that the kid looked as long as
him. Yeah, he had to perform in order to...
And here's the part where he says something that makes sense. He has called for American leaders to think beyond gun laws and seeking ways to stop shooting tragedies. He says U.S. leaders need to address issues such as parenting, mental illness, as well as laws on firearms when discussing ways to reduce gun violence.
Yeah.
Wow. And things of that nature,
these
I'm guessing.
Things of
right.
that nature.
And other sorts of things. All right. A little bit more fun stack before we go.
Yay! What?
Man rescued after head gets stuck in a public trash can in Scotland.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
Man in Scotland.
Go away, bail your head.
Almost our entire show is about dumb things on the internet, but you just literally anything. A man in Scotland's become an internet sensation of sorts after he was photographed with his head lodged in a public trash can. Firefighters reportedly took 15 minutes to free the man. One bystander said he was really screaming and shouting for help, but to be honest, most people just stood around laughing and taking pictures.
That's because they're Scottish.
Yeah.
They do that there. They don't help. They laugh.
We do. That is now with the advent of the iPhone, it's made us even more insensitive. We're like, okay, I'll help, but I gotta get a picture.
Yeah.
Okay, just stay there.
That guy broke his leg. Look at that. It's bent backwards.
Hang on, I gotta get the red eye out. I'll be there in a second. Hang on.
Wow.
All right. That's it for us today. Don't forget Sexy Liberal Chicago, everybody. April 13th, tickets are going very, very fast. VIP's already gone, but there's a lot of great seats left. Hurry, hurry, hurry. The big Midwest show for this year. Hooray! I'd like to thank Chris LeBoy, Jim Ward, T-Bone and Phones and Drums, Jackie, Courtney, everybody over in the current control room, Shelby.
Kelby.
Right. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Dr. Miller Marcus Show. Kelby.